Construction firm WBHO cut the dividend by 60% due mainly to poor Australian performance. I'm joined on the line now by Loki Nell, the CEO of WBHO, to give us a bit of a breakdown as to what actually happened. Good evening, Loki.
Good evening, Chris.
Loki, I think it was probably a bit unfair to concentrate quite so much on Australia because the way I perceive it, at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of this is due to a one-off in the Western Roads upgrade in Australia, whereas the rest of Australia has actually been quite buoyant. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you got it right, Chris. The results are very skewed, but unfortunately it's one contract in Western Australia, or in Melbourne, actually, the Western Roads upgrade, where we're in a big lump sum fixed price design and construct contract, and we've booked a loss that we expect to incur in the next year. So we've actually made provision for it. But as you say, if you strip that out, our main business there, ProBuild, which is the building business, we've in fact started improving the margin in line with cutting revenue and our strategy going forward. So actually overall a good year in Australia, except for this one contract, unfortunately.
Okay. I was at a breakfast last year, I think, or maybe the year before. Now, WBHO has pretty much been the darling of the sector for many, many years. And one of the points that came out at that breakfast was that in South Africa, at least, one of the big differentiators between WBHO and its competitors is the high degree of inclusion of the local community whenever you go and do a big project. Is that a fair summation?
Now, that certainly plays a part in it, especially these days where we've got a lot of community involvement in projects and the business forum. So it's something you've got to approach, I suppose, in a proactive type of approach. But Chris, I suppose it really comes down to, we think, our culture and our management continuity. You know, that most of the senior guys in this business has been here a long time. And it starts when the tender arrives in the office, the risk assessment, and then there's really no room for error at the margins we work. So we've got to really deliver on time and try and get the quality right the first time so that we don't have any loss-making contracts. If you can keep that going, it's amazing how it fills up the buckets, you know, because we probably run about 150 contracts at any one time throughout the country.
Okay. In the UK, the Burn Group, and that looks like it had a fairly good year. And I know this is a very difficult question, but the impact of Brexit, I mean, is there any potential to dent that good performance from Burn?
Yeah, I think we are nervous about it. We're not quite sure which way it's going to head, you know, but it is a good start for us in England. It's our first full year that we've had there. So we got the business in Manchester as well, the Russell's Construction, and then the Burn Group in London itself. We've had a good year. I think we got a solid order book for about nearly $8 billion going forward into this financial year. So we think the next year we can certainly weather the storm, and hopefully by that time we've got Brexit behind us and we can see what the influence is. But we're also unsure about it. We're not quite sure which way it's going to go.
Right. Coming back to South Africa for a moment, one of the features of the construction industry in recent years has been the virtual absence of the public sector, with one or two small exceptions. In the narrative in your results, you make the commentary that there may be the nascent signs of the public sector coming back. If that's the case, would that have a reasonably big impact on you, positive impact?
Yeah, I think if you go back 5 or 6 years, our order book used to be about 50-60% public work for government entities, where the last 2 years it's been down around the 20% level. So certainly we're feeling the pinch of the government not spending money. But we've just seen in the last couple of weeks, Transnet, Sunrail, Eskom, as well as AXA have brought out various large contracts. I think in total is about 12 contracts totaling nearly 20 billion rand that's come to market. So I think that's very positive for us. You know, we've seen the boards of the SOEs change about 12, 18 months ago. There was the first sign of potential green shoots, but now we're actually seeing the work coming to market. So we're quite optimistic that things are going to start happening. And the government's realizing the spin in infrastructure creates the work and helps with unemployment. So I think hopefully in the year coming, there'll be a bit more work from government.
Okay. Now, with so many construction companies, you know, having either folded or gone into business rescue in the past year or so, you know, what is the future like for the remaining players like yourselves? I mean, you guys are undoubtedly the creme de la creme of the, certainly in my opinion, of the construction industry. So if what I've said, you know, comes to pass, if we get a bit of a turnaround, you must be sitting looking actually quite good in comparison with many of your previous competitors.
Yeah, Chris, unfortunately in construction, there's always another competitor that comes along. So there hasn't been many large contractors or large contracts coming to the market lately. So we've been competing at a level where certainly there's a lot of mid-tier contractors that is competing with us. But we hope when some of the bigger contracts come through that we got a fair chance at it. We're not quite sure. You know, there is a bit of a skill shortage at the moment. I think a lot of guys leaving either the industry or immigrating. But, I mean, we've seen what this industry can do in the 2010 World Cup. You know, they never thought the skills was in the country. And when the work came, it got delivered. So I think that we're in a very short term, we're in a good position. But it's really sad for the industry because a lot of training is not happening that should be happening throughout the country at the moment.
Indeed. And just to finish off, you know, looking at the outlook there, you seem reasonably upbeat. And if you take out this kind of one-off from WRU, then, you know, even although the background isn't wonderfully uplifting, I think probably enough to make an appreciable difference to WBHO and perhaps some of the other players as well.
Yeah, I've got no doubt that I think, as I say, we've got a strong order book, a good balance sheet going forward into the new year. So I think we'll see a really good recovery in our operating profits, etc. If we can hold that Australian contract to where we've pegged it, we should be returning some good returns for our shareholders next year, hopefully.
Lovely. Loki Nell, CEO of WBHO, good luck in the future, and thank you very much for participating this evening.
Thank you, Chris. Good night.
Thank you.